Hello, swimmers, and welcome to another episode of Torpedo Swim Talk podcast. I'm your host, Danielle Sperling, and each week we chat to a master swimmer from around the world about their swimming journey. Ingrid Trussler joins me on the podcast today, where she shares her journey from a major shoulder injury, which halted her early swimming career, to now being a multiple world champion at the recent Masters World Championships in Japan. I was really interested to hear from Ingrid about how she came back from that major injury and what she did in her training and racing that made such a difference. Let's hear from Ingrid now. Hi, Ingrid. Welcome to the podcast.
It's great to be here. Thank you, Daniela.
Yes, it's really lovely to have you. Where are you based in South Africa?
So I live in Pretoria, which is our capital city in South Africa.
Yeah. And have you lived there all your life, or did you move there in your adult life?
Moved there in my adult life. I actually grew up in Johannesburg. And so that's where I swam as a child, was in Johannesburg. But been in Pretoria the last 30 years, yeah.
Ah, lovely. So can you share with us a little bit about your background in swimming? Obviously, you just mentioned you started swimming in Johannesburg. How did you first get involved in it, and how far did you go with it?
So I went for my first swimming lesson when I was five. And the main reason that I went for a swimming lesson is my dad wanted to put a swimming pool at our home. And my mom had a near-drowning experience as a teenager, so she just said there was no ways he was doing that until the kids could swim. So off my brother and I went to go and learn how to swim. And somehow or other, I just seemed to be able to do it. I got there and the swimming teacher said, well, do you want to try? So I said, okay, jumped in the water. I'm not quite sure what I did from the one side to the other, but I managed to do something and stay afloat. Yeah, so it started there and I swam. So I was five, I swam for about 10 years until I was 15. And I accomplished quite a bit in that time period. I swam provincially from age 9. And then I swam from 14, 15 and up to 16. I swam for South African schools. And at that stage, I was knocking on qualifying times for Olympics. I was in the three longer distance freestyle events, so the 200, the 400 and the 800. And then, unfortunately for me, I got a major rotator cuff injury. And many, many decades ago, unfortunately, the orthopedic surgeons just said there was nothing they could do to help me. And the best solution they had is that I stopped swimming. So it was quite a trauma for me because I was swimming well. And we were actually talking at the time and considering possibly moving to America to continue a swimming career there because of the political situation in South Africa all those years back and the sanctions and so on. There was very little opportunity, well, in fact, no opportunity from South Africa to be able to participate in the Olympic Games or anything like that. And so but of course, that all came to a grinding halt with this injury that I had. And so there, all of a sudden, from one day to the next, I wasn't swimming any longer. And that was quite a toughie, but it was what it was. Yeah, so that's when my childhood swimming career came to an end. It was just before I turned 16.
Yeah. Right. And so with that injury, how did you overcome that and get started in master swimming?
So at the time, the orthopedic surgeon said that if he tried surgery, there was a good chance that I would lose the use of that arm. And so my dad said, well, then that makes an easy decision for him. We won't have any surgery. We'll just leave it and see what happens. And so because I wasn't swimming, you know, after about 2 years, my arm felt fine and I could do basically anything I wanted. And then, you know, what happened eventually, I got married and we have 4 children. And of course, I wanted to teach my children to swim. And there was, of course, a little deep hope in my heart that maybe one of them had caught a little bit of talent from me. And my youngest son did. He's a really good swimmer as well. And so what I did as the kids were growing up, taught them to swim. And we have an event here in South Africa called the Midmar Mile. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's one of the world's biggest open water events. And so as the kids were growing up, I would train a little bit with them, thinking, well, we'll see how the arm goes or the shoulder goes. And it seemed to be fine. And I swam a few Midmar Miles with the kids as they were growing up. So it was very on and off. I would train for about 2 or 3 weeks before the event, which didn't really make me fit, but maybe it helped me psychologically that I'd actually been in the water. And I did those few things when the children were growing up. But how I got into master's swimming, interestingly enough, I was actually in Australia, and this was the end of 2018. And my husband was attending a conference, and one day of the conference, I wanted to actually go and visit a church in Sydney, and hopped onto a bus, and driving along, I went past a center called the Ian Thorpe Aquatic Center. Was this huge building which had a swimming pool inside. And I was like, oh my word, we don't have things like that here in South Africa. And I was just totally blown away at this aquatic center, you know. And I remember just in my heart saying, you know, God, could I have a second chance at my swimming? Is there a second chance for me? And later on that day, I was telling my husband what I'd seen, and I said, how did he feel about me maybe for the next 10 years, if I can, if my shoulder holds, doing some training? So he said, no, go for it, you know. And so I got back to South Africa the beginning of December 2018 and went onto Google and Googled South African Masters Swimming, thinking I'm not quite sure if I'm going to find anything or what I'll find. And on the website, there was a swimming coach who was offering a one-week clinic just the third, you know, the week before Christmas. And it happened to be in the whole of South Africa. It happened to be 4 kilometers from my house.
Oh, wow.
So I said, wow, that's quite interesting. So I phoned her and I just said, look, in a nutshell, this is my story. I don't know if I can swim or I can't. So she said, well, come and do the clinic for the week and we'll take it from there, you know. And so I did do the clinic and she just said to me, she said, you're really talented, you really swim well. So I said, well, I used to be okay when I was a kid, you know, I don't know if I can still swim decently now, we'll see, you know, how it goes. And so she became my coach, Anna Marie Dressler is her name. And that's how I started. And I started training. And of course, I trained for 2019, and then of course into 2020, and then we had our COVID fun around the world, so that sort of changed things a little, but picked up as soon as we could, you know, after that. Perhaps just to say something that I found out when I was in my early 20s, that there was such a thing as master swimming. And I still thought to myself, gee, I wonder if one day I'd maybe be able to try that. You know, I mean, I was married and we had started our family and, you know, I was in that space. And so I think there was a little seed that kind of settled in my heart that maybe one day I would do some master swimming. And then in that space, I found out that there were these world masters events. And I thought to myself, if I could just go to one, I just want to attend one, because, you know, from In South Africa, we don't have aquatic centres and fancy swimming pools. And, you know, we have pools, but life's quite basic, yeah, in that space. And, so I went to Japan now. So that was my first international event. I was blown away at just the excellence with which the whole event was run and just the privilege, absolute privilege of being there. You know, I was just so, so grateful. And then I swam well, you know, it was such an interesting thing because when I was a little girl, if I had a good swim, then my dad would say to me, I'm telling you, Ingrid, you have swum better than you know how. And I swam there in Japan and I'd get out the water. And my dad passed away some years back. And I'd say, Dad, I'm telling you, I've just swum better than I know how.
That's a lovely, that's
lovely. I would have had a really good swim. So I was surprised myself intensely. Yeah.
That's amazing.
But that's my story.
Yeah. Well, what individual events did you enter in Japan and share with us the results that you got?
Okay. So my favorite event, which interestingly enough didn't exist when I was a child, and that's the 3K open water. So open water swimming in South Africa kind of started around about the time that I stopped swimming as a child and or as a teenager. So one of the first things I wanted to try out as such in my recent years was to go and do an open water swim because I had done the few mid-mar miles with my children, but, you know, it was limited, if I could say that. So, I entered the 3K because I've really come to love that event. I enjoy the long distance open water swimming. It's probably a favorite. And then I entered all the freestyle events, so all five, because you can enter five events. I thought, look, this is it. I'm doing worlds. I'm going to do it. enter five races. So I'm not a sprinter. I'm really not at all. I don't embarrass myself, but it's not good. So, I entered all of them. And so I ended up winning the 3K, which was the first event and I swam. And I was just so, like, oh, my word, just imagine that, you know. And so I had a really good swim. I did a, you know, good time. I was really happy with the swim. And I feel like the bonus was that I came first. You know, it certainly wasn't what I was aiming for. I was just, my aim was to participate, you know. And anyway, then I swam the other races and I managed to win the 200 and the 400 and the 800 as well, which was totally amazing. And, you know, the thing that's interesting is I actually age up next year. So I move up into the next age group. So I was the old lady in my age group. So and then the sprints, I actually don't remember exactly. I think I was placed seventh in the 100 and I think 11th in the 50. So, but for a non-sprinter, I was actually quite chuffed with that too, because it's not my happy space. So yes. It was just an amazing, it was 2 weeks. And I am just, all I can tell you is my heart is full. And I am so grateful for this second chance and this opportunity, you know.
It's fabulous. I mean, it's so wonderful that you had that career in your teenage years and the injury. And now you're back and you probably appreciate it so much more than when you were a teenager. And are grateful for every day that you can swim without that shoulder injury. So that's fabulous.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I think as a child, you just, you know, I mean, you're young and you're strong and you go swim and you actually think when you do something well, you think it's you. you don't realize maybe so much that you actually have talent. You know, I mean, I have lots of friends who train exactly the same as I do. And they just say, how come you go fast and we don't? I just said, it's got nothing to do with me. It's talent. I've been given talent. God has given me talent. And, you know, if you train with talent, you've got a higher chance of a better result, I think. And so So I'm probably, in terms of my swimming career, by far the most grateful I've ever been. Just for every day to be able to actually dive in and go and train is just huge, feels huge.
And how did you find the atmosphere around Marine Mess in Japan when you were there? What was the feeling on the pool deck and in the call room and leading up to the race? Can you give us a bit of an on-the-spot report?
So, you know what was interesting for me? So, as I said, I did the 3K first. And so I'm not a nervous competitor. I never have been. I mean, there's some adrenaline rush, but I'm not anxious and I don't go to that space. However, at the 3K, I felt some pressure that I had never felt before. And I sat there and I thought, woof, this is a new feeling. You know, I'm actually feeling the pressure of the event. I was just aware of all of these people. I mean, there were 102 countries represented, I believe. And so I was aware of all these women around me as we waited in this big, huge marquee tent on the side of the sea where we were swimming. And I could just see, I just thought, these people are from all over the world, you know. I mean, you recognize the different people. And so I was just very aware of, you know, the bigness of the actual event. And I had some butterflies in my tummy that I'd never felt before, without a doubt, you know.
Yes.
But I must tell you something that's quite interesting there. So we swam in these waves, which is something I'd never experienced before. So they would group some of the age groups together. So we swam three waves. So in my wave, I was the middle age group out of the three age groups that were swimming together. And then they explained to us at the race briefing that we would have different color caps for the different age groups. So I thought, oh, well, that's quite cool, because then you'll be able to see, you know, who your competitors are. Because otherwise, if you're three age groups, then you don't know who you're swimming against, you know. And anyway, so I sat there and I thought, oh, well, that's quite cool. That makes good sense to me. And I'm like, oh, please let my age group have pink caps. I love pink, hence the color of the glasses. But anyway, so I do pink. And can you believe it? We got pink caps.
Oh,
so
fantastic.
I was like, yes. It's like a little extra funny on the side. And then we started our wave. And you know, so I was just so aware of the pink cap swimmers. So I was having a good look at them before we started, thinking, okay, you look like you could be, I need to be careful of you. Just like in terms of, okay, you look like you could swim well. And I started the race and I just went out and there were no pink caps with me, you know, and I just thought, am I going out too fast? It was feeling like my right pace. And I just thought, are these extra butterflies I'm feeling inside, you know, have they kicked in? And I had a good pace and it went well. Yeah. And so to get back to the, you know, at the pool and those events, I felt like the ice had been broken at the open water event in terms of the nervousness and whatever. So I was a lot more settled. The first race I swam in the pool was the 800. So I was much more settled before the event. But once again, I thought the atmosphere was incredible. I mean, the professionalism of the officials was just something else. I just thought, these are like proper people doing amazing. It was just so professional, you know, and it was just, I felt so well organized, you know, you knew exactly where to go, what to do. It was just such an amazing experience, but without a doubt, quite aware of just the pool of talent that you're up against. You know, it's very different to swimming just locally. You know, here in South Africa, it really was. And in fact, the last event that we swam was the 200 freestyle, which was what was a touch and go event for me. I had the second time in. And of course, by that time, we had gotten to sort of know each other a little bit, our age group. So it was like, oh, hi, you know, this little kind of connect. And in that event, I came to find out before we swam it that I was the only long distance swimmer. The other nine in that heat were sprinters. And I'm like, that's why I don't like this race, is what I was saying to myself, because it's not actually a long distance swimmer's race. But the sprinters were saying, but it's not a sprint either, which I hear, you know. So it's this kind of no man's race, you know. And so I just thought to myself, if I am to beat that lady who had a faster time in than me, I cannot let her get away from me as a sprinter, but I also need to maintain the pace. The pacing of that race is very important. Anyway, so we swam, but the part that was just a little scary for me in that particular event was when we turned on the third length to come in for our final lap. I turned in front, but I was maybe a half a body length in front. And as I pushed off the wall, what went through my head was, is I've got nine sprinters behind me. You know, it was like, I don't know if I can hold them off, you know, because I mean, it's now you need to sprint into the finish line. And I'm like thinking, this is not my happy space. I've got to just hope that they are tired now because they've swum three lengths and I can hold it on a long distance hold, if I can say that. And I ended up winning quite well. So, yeah, but it was wonderful. It was just a wonderful experience.
What time did you end up doing for that 200 freestyle?
At 2:31, I think.
Lovely.
2 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah, great time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
For an old lady, it's not bad.
And what lessons do you think you learned from racing in Japan at your first World Championships that you'll take forward into the next major competition?
The thing that my takeaway is how important your training is. I think I really was well prepared, and you know, in the pool and my head, I was ready for it. And maybe I felt well prepared in my head because I had waited for this event or the possibility of this event for decades, you know. And so I think my takeaway is to be well prepared. Your head and your head, your heart and your body, you need to all round be ready for it. And I really think that that's an important thing. You know, so if you have a weak space, so if you're not a good head person, it's you need to be well prepared in that space. So I think that's my big take out. So you probably do know that there is another Worlds now in Doha as a result of them having missed one because of COVID. So I am going to be going to Doha. And so, you know, I'm training hard, but for me, it's the participation, you know, just to go there. I'm just so excited. It's like, imagine that. I'm now going to do two of these. And my whole life, I just hoped for one. So I feel like I'm being spoiled to be able to do another one.
Yes. So will you age up to the next age group next year?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, that's good, isn't it?
Nice. So it works out nicely for me, yes.
Yes, it works well. So what? Take us through a typical week of your training schedule, what you're doing right now for working towards Doha, and maybe give us a bit of a glimpse of your preparation.
So I hop up early. I'm in the pool at 4:45 in the morning. I still work, so I need to train early to get it in. At the moment, I'm training 5 sessions a week. I don't normally train as much as that, but in preparation, I am doing that. What I have included in my program, which I did do for Japan as well, which is very out of my comfort zone, is to actually do sprint training as part of my training. So not just the long distance stuff, which is my happy space. So I have a couple of sets a week that don't make me happy. I just know that they're good for me, and I need to do it. And I actually enjoy it. It's not like I don't like it, but it's just I prefer the longer sets. Like this morning set was a whole lot of 400s, you know, and I'm like, yep, that's me. Give me a whole lot of 400s, I'm happy. So, so I'm doing both, lots of training and probably doing about 15 kilometers a week.
Yeah, okay. And when you say you're adding in some more sprint sets, what's an example of something that you might do that complements that long distance training?
Okay, so we would do, first of all, it would include quite a bit of kick. So some sprint kicking, which is foreign for any long distance swimmer because we don't kick. So to find out that I actually have got legs and they can work, which is good. And then I would do 25s and 50s would be mainly what would be in a sprint set. And my coach mixes the strokes a little bit for me. So that's also a little bit of a push out of my comfort zone because I'm just a freestyle swimmer. I enjoy the other strokes. I find in my older age, butterfly is a little challenging these days. So I can do a 50, I can do a couple of 50s. But I get done a bit quick there. Yeah. So, but mainly 25s and 50s in a mix of stroke.
Yeah. And do you add in any dry land strength training and conditioning into your routine?
I've been told that it's a very important thing to do dry land training, but I don't. I don't. No, I don't like doing it. So I have tried. But you know, if you have to see me in the gym doing something, it would be because I'm out of the water for some reason, you know. So as much as I agree that it is probably good for me, I don't do it.
Are you a flexible person? Like, you're very flexible in your shoulders and your joints?
Yeah, I am fairly.
And so do you do much flexibility stretching?
I do a little bit. I do a little bit of flexibility stretching, yes. And I feel like that's important for me. You know, being older, it feels like that's important.
Mm. Yeah. And let's take a bit of a look at your nutrition. Do you do anything special in what you eat or the diet you follow, or give us a bit of a glimpse into how that works for you?
Yeah, so I'm not a supplement-y person. So I don't take like sort of vitamins and things like that, never have done. So I don't do anything like that. What I try and do is keep a consistency in what I eat and how I eat. So I've always been a fairly healthy eater. I like to, you know, without being, you know, if somebody offers me a chocolate, I'll eat it. You know, I don't have a problem with it. But from day to day, I choose to eat, you know, food with little preservatives, as little preservatives, as little processing. So I try to go the healthier route with my eating rather than taking supplements. That's kind of been a lifelong kind of philosophy, belief, whatever. What's interesting for me is as a child, I also did most of my training early morning, and I have never, ever enjoyed eating anything before I swim. So it doesn't matter how long my training session is or what I'm doing, I don't eat anything. So, I mean, even now when I swam my 3K, one of my friends that was in Japan that was there with me, she said, you need to eat something. I said, no, I don't. So I don't eat before I swim. And I think it's just, that's what my body is used to. So I don't do like, you know, sort of, you know, like a drink of sorts or an energy drink or anything like that before I swim. If I've done a long race, I'll drink an energy drink afterwards and an electrolyte thing to just get the fluids right again. But otherwise, I don't. So my nutrition is very basic, if I can say that. I just keep it simple.
Yeah, well, it works for you. It worked for you. So I think keep on doing what you're doing. And you mentioned your head, your heart, your body. Tell us a little bit about how you prepare mentally for those races.
So I think some people are just born with a head that can race, and other people really struggle in that space. So I know of friends who can swim the most amazing times at training, and then you pop them onto a block and they can't do it, you know. So I just think I'm fortunate that I have a head that doesn't wobble too much. I'm clear. So in preparation for a race, I will think the race through. You know, I will think about my pacing, you know, be long distance, that's really important. I will, you know, on my warm-up, I will be able to gauge how I'm feeling in the water. And if I'm feeling good, I will, you know, like if I just think, take that 200, in my warm-up, I felt really good in the water. And I just thought, I can actually take this out a second faster today because I'm going to be okay. So I will prepare my head there. So by the time I get onto the block, I know exactly what I'm going to do. One of the things I've also, I had to train myself to do, especially as a child, I think I do it better now as an adult, is I don't watch the other swimmers. I don't mind what everybody else is doing. I focus on what I'm doing. Because, you know, for me, I'm actually swimming against myself. That's how I see swimming today. You know, and if I come first in the race, well, that's a bonus. But it's actually how did I do today against myself? So I'm my own gauge. That's how I race. It's me in the water. And I really enjoy that space. And I think my heart, as I said just now, I think because I'm so grateful for this second opportunity, that every time I swim, I'm so happy for the opportunity that my heart is just in probably the best space it's ever been in its life, in its swimming life, because I'm just grateful for the opportunity to be able to give it another shot, you know. And then in terms of training, I am very disciplined. I will not miss a session. I'm going to bed late. I'm not going to get up early too. I don't even think about that. Time for training, I get up and I do the whole set. Even if I'm really tired and my coach has been trying to tell me you need to listen to your body, and I agree with her, but I'm really not good at not finishing the set. If the set says A to Z, I must go to Z. even if I'm tired, I'll do X, Y, and Z maybe a bit slower, but I won't get out. You know, it's like, so I am disciplined in that space.
And with your pre-race warm-up for a competition, do you do the same one? You mentioned, obviously, you went in the 50 all the way through to the 800 in the pool. Did you do the same warm-up for each of those races, or did you change it depending on what it was?
Yeah, no, definitely different. So I will do a longer warm-up for a longer race, definitely. So for an 800, I would do at least an 800 warm-up, if not, yeah, 1,000 metres, 1, 2, so that I can I don't warm up like so much for this race and so much for that race. I really do it on how I'm feeling in the water. So actually, if I'm feeling nice and light and strong in the water, then I'll keep my warm-up shorter because I can actually feel that I'm loose and I'm ready to race. If I jump in and I feel heavy in the water, then I'll actually swim that out until I feel myself actually get lighter in the water, and then I'll get out. But as a general rule, I will do a longer warm-up for a longer race.
Yeah, I like that. I have that same feeling too. It's sort of disconcerting when you've done a lot of work and you're heading to a competition and you do hop in for the warm-up and you feel that heavy feeling and you have to get rid of it, don't you?
Because actually, for me, if I don't get rid of it, that will mess with my head. Because then I don't know how to think through my race, because I'm not sure, I'm not confident in my pacing because, you know, I'm feeling a little not so sure now, where am I? So that's why I will swim until I can feel, okay, now I'm ready to swim it like this, you know.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Now, everyone that comes on the podcast, Ingrid, I like to ask them the deep dive five questions, which is a bit of a snapshot about your swimming. So you can just tell us the first thing that pops into your head. What is the favorite pool that you've ever swum in?
I think it has to be Japan. No, at Tbilisi. Yeah.
And what about a current or past swimmer that you admire the most?
Shane Gould. So she was my absolute hero. Yeah, without a doubt.
Yes. And she did dabble in a bit of master swimming. I don't think she does it now, but she did do it a few years ago. Is she in your age group?
Okay, so I think she may be a bit older than me. So she was really I'm sure she is a bit older than me because I remember when I was swimming, she was at Olympics and that, you know, swimming as a young teenager. But I have to say, I did scroll through the entries for Japan thinking, I wonder if I'll see her name. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, or maybe one day. You never know. How about your favorite freestyle training drill?
Catch up would be my favorite. Yeah.
Yep. Do you do that with fins or pool boy or just straight kick?
Probably all of those. Favorite would be with a pool boy. Especially recently, I've got this pool boy from Finnis that you clip onto your ankles. So it's around your ankles rather than between your upper leg. And I like that guy. That and catch up and even pedals. So if I think of my most favorite is to work with pedals.
And how about your favorite freestyle training set?
100 repeats. So I would do like a 400 warm-up, and then I would do 30 or 40 100 repeats on 145. I love doing that.
You love doing that. And what time would you come? How much rest do you get on the 145?
At the moment, about 20 seconds. I feel like there's, watching the clock on each one, there's that feedback on each, each 100 on, are you maintaining pace? Are you able to keep up with it? You know, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, nice. And looking ahead to next year's Olympics, it's pretty tough competition in the women's middle distance and distance events. Who do you think, out of all the swimmers around the world, are going to be successful in the 4, 8 and 1500 freestyle? Who are your predicted winners?
Yeah, so I think Katie Ledecky, even though she is getting a little older, that girlie is strong and she's good. So, if she is training and preparing for the Olympics, I think I'd put my money on her.
Yep, for the 1500 or... 800 or
all those long all ones.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. 400, 800. Do they do the 15 at the Olympics as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just introduced. Yeah.
Okay.
Fantastic. Well, Ingrid, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. It's been lovely chatting to you and hearing all about your swimming journey, and congratulations on that great swimming in Japan, because that's just amazing.
It surprised me and I'm grateful. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you very much, and have a merry, merry Christmas, and hopefully we can get to meet on pool deck one day soon.
That would be amazing. That would be amazing.
Thanks for listening into the podcast today. I hope you got as much from my chat with Ingrid as I did. How great is it to learn from all these different swimmers in the pool and the open water? I really hope that you're enjoying the episodes as much as I enjoy bringing them to you. Till next time, happy swimming and bye for now.